This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're starting out with segments one and two with an old friend of mine and now some good friends of Corey's also. This is a very interesting story in the sense that I have known the company that we're going to talk about, which is Mines Management. I've known the company for as long as it's been around. I have known the principals, i.e. Glenn Dobbs and his son Doug Dobbs, who's with us right now. We were just talking off mic, and it's been a minimum with Doug of 10 years, and in terms of Glenn, I probably go back about 25 years with Glenn. So very, very interesting story. Let me give you some background from my personal knowledge of what's going on. And by the way, Corey and I are shareholders and have been for, almost 8 months in Mines Management. Having said that, I met Doug years ago when he was still a broker. He was actually a state legislator in Washington. I met him shortly after that when he was a broker with National Securities. He focused on resource companies, very successful. And then began Mines Management. Mines Management has the Montanore Project in Montana. Struggle upon struggle before success came to Mines Management. Doug, how long has it been since the inception of the company that you finally got to the very successful state that you're at right now?
Al, thanks again also for the chance to be on your program. And it's been an interesting journey over, you know, the last 20 to 30 years. In fact, as we've kind of transcended the last couple of metal cycles, first being in the late 70s and 80s, and then this most recent one in the new millennium. And Mines Management has really kind of been a part of that, having been founded originally in 1947 to develop some small base metals mines in northeastern Washington State. It produced lead and zinc for a number of years back in the 50s and 60s, and then as a result of a merger in the 1980s, came into an interest in some of the claims that overlapped the Montanore project, and then ultimately with Mines Management kind of staying in the game throughout all of the cycles and turmoil and good years over the decades, became in 2002 the 100% owner of the Montanore project when the operator and senior company controlling the project, Noranda Minerals, walked away right at the bottom of the metals market. And it was at that time that I came on board. Bill Green, the former CEO of the company, whose father was one of the founders originally in 1947, was the only employee at that point. Again, after about a 13-year bear market in precious metals, a lot of the juniors were really kind of dormant at that time. And so I came on board at his request, and we worked to raise initial seed capital to advance the Montanore project, which had been somewhat disassembled or allowed to kind of return to being a non-developable project. It had lost its permits and properties had been broken up, and so we somewhat had to reassemble Humpty Dumpty. And so we brought a new board and management team on in 2003, and that included Glenn coming on as CEO and chairman of the board. And as metals prices began to rise, coincidentally in 2003 and 4 and 5, we worked to reassemble Humpty Dumpty and initiated a re-permitting process that the government told us would take about 2 years. And lo and behold, 11 years later, we finally completed that task of regaining approval for development of the project. Unfortunately, the extra time taken by the government to give us the approval on a project which had been approved previously in the 1990s, we missed the cycle. And it's very common for government to take too long doing things, and it adds a lot of inefficiency in the market and in the economy, and this is a prime example of that. The local community of Libby, Montana was really depending upon the development of the project to bring back economic prosperity to the community. Libby has the highest unemployment rate in that county, Lincoln County, of any other county in Montana. Had we had the permits in time, we probably would have been able to have developed the project on time. So, but as it was, we received the approvals for the project in February of this year. Once again, sort of at the bottom of the metals market, and that led us into discussions with the company that we're in the process of merging with right now, Hecla Mining Corporation, and we hope to close that transaction within the next month or 5 weeks or so. And I think it's going to be a benefit not only to the shareholders of Mines Management, but also to the community around the project, because Hecla is really the logical and natural company to be advancing the Montan ore, because they also last year recently acquired the Rock Creek deposit as well, which is very close to the Montan ore and a very similar deposit, and so they should be able to develop those over the coming years in some combination with one another. So it's kind of an exciting time both for Mines Management. When I came on board with the company in 2002, we had a market cap of $1 million, and it looks like if valuation hang in there over the next few weeks, we could see a $50 million sale to Hecla. So so that's an exciting time.
Doug, I find it so interesting that you came to acquire this Montan ore project at the bottom of the market. And I think that's something that investors need to be aware of, is that at the bottom of these markets, there are some very attractive properties that companies can acquire for essentially cents on the dollar, and that is what you and your team at Mines Management managed to do. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, it took the government a while to get the permits through. So I guess my question for you is, how or what would you attribute to the success of being able to survive a couple cycles since the beginning of, well, since around 2002, you said, even when you were handcuffed by the government and politics, really?
The ability to withstand not only the government bureaucracy and the time that they were taking, but also to be able to do that after the metals market peaked in about 2011. There was another 5 years that we had to go through, and I think that any mining company and its ability to maintain momentum on a project depends upon two things. So one is the project itself, and then the other is the people involved. So you have the property, you have the people, and so investors typically will continue to invest in a project as long as you have a good combination of those two factors. And so the Montan ore project is considered an excellent project. It's a very large project with over 230 million ounces of silver resource, 1.7 billion pounds of copper resource in a 43-101 classification, and despite being designed as an underground mine, the grades are sufficient that it's an attractive project, not only for just investors but also for senior mining companies such as Hecla. It's a project that actually makes sense and can be one that can be viewed with a long-term view of being developable over a long period of time and kind of transcending the cycles. So people were willing to continue to invest, but they wouldn't invest in a project like that unless they had the confidence of knowing that the property was being advanced by people that are very competent. And so we have excellent people on our board, in addition to Glenn, who has a large amount of experience in business and metals markets, but also in politics and the capability to get the thing re-permitted in an environment that that is a political environment in the United States that really doesn't like mining.
Guys like Doug Dobbs and his dad, Glenn Dobbs, are the reason that I am absolutely madly in love with the resource industry. Stick around.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one use the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply nutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
To a professional trader in precious metals, the key is spot price. Spot price is market price, what gold or silver actually costs on the exchange. Regular people looking to invest never get spot price because resellers add fees for everything: refining, minting, brokerage costs, commissions. The public is never offered spot price until now. In a limited new customer outreach, JM Bullion offers you the chance to own a 10-ounce bar of pure silver at spot price. No fees, commissions, markups, not even a shipping cost. Now, through JM Bullion, own the most real investment of all at real cost. Not a piece of paper from Wall Street or a bank. A 10-ounce bar of silver at spot price. That's a solid investment. But you must act now. Go online to realpricesilver.com for this limited time offer. That's realpricesilver.com. Realpricesilver.com. Limit one offer per household. 50 United States only.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our chat with Doug Dobbs, the president of Mines Management. The last segment we gave, I think, a very nice overview and history of Mines Management and how the company managed to acquire a very attractive property and survive multiple cycles in the precious metals markets. Doug, I want to, in this segment, talk about what we've been seeing in the, I guess, general market and sector for precious metals. We've seen a few acquisitions come down the line in the last couple years, but I think what's more noteworthy is we've seen some of these survivor companies actually move their properties forward in what was a horrible time for companies, especially when it came to raising money. And now these projects are looking to go into production at prices that it seems like they can make money, which is very noteworthy. As, I would say, an insider in this whole sector, what's been your takeaway from the past 5 years and now most recently this past 8 months, this turnaround?
Well, thanks, Corey. Those are excellent questions because ultimately the success of investments over the long term in this space depend upon timing it right, and the cycles have everything to do with that. When we got started with Mines Management in 2002, it was right at the bottom of the metals market, and we were able to advance the project all the way through 2016, which is the period of time it took us to complete the permitting. But over that period of time, metals prices rose. They peaked out in roughly 2011 and 12, and then they fell dramatically. Silver hit a high of over $45 an ounce before they changed the margin requirements on the futures exchange, and it came crashing down to, you know, lows of about $13 to $14 an ounce. So it became a difficult time for most metals companies, especially those that are junior companies. And so it becomes a bit of a race as to who has the best projects in the worst possible times. And those companies that have the best projects, those that are developable in an environment of low metals prices, they continue to advance. But those projects that are least economic, they go by the wayside. The projects themselves don't go by the wayside. They're always there. The metals are in the ground. But the companies that are advancing them frequently do. And then other companies end up advancing the projects in the future when the cycle comes back. And that's what happened with the Montanore project. It was discovered in the early 80s by U.S. Borax. They sold it to Noranda Minerals in the late 80s. Noranda advanced the Montanore during the 1990s, which was a time of falling metals prices. And then they withdrew right at the bottom of the metals market in 2002. And that's when Mines Management took over. And we carried it through, to the logical conclusion of permitting. And so that's where today, with metals prices having come down since 2012, even though we've seen a rally in 2016, there are still companies out there that are good values. There are still projects out there that are viable, that could be, good investment opportunities for people, because the sector really hasn't had another speculative blow off top again yet. This just may be the beginning of the next leg up, and with what's going on economically and politically around the world, I think that it's reasonable to think that economic and monetary policy going forward is going to be positive for precious metals, especially. Federal Reserve banks and central banks around the world don't have very many arrows left in their quiver with which to stimulate economies, and so you have inflation that becomes something that third world nations tend to lean on, and the way that monetary policy has been in the United States and in Europe, in Japan and other major economies, that seems to be about the only thing left. So we'll see how things turn out here, especially with the onset of a new administration coming up in the next few months. What direction that they decide to take will have a major impact on where the economy goes, and that will determine where precious metals prices go. And I think a lot of people are very fearful right now, so gold and silver prices are moving back up.
Doug, there's one more comment that I want you to address, and this deals with the majors and their takeovers or acquisitions of these junior companies? We all know over the past 5 years that the majors have cut back quite substantially on their exploration budgets, and they've also had to write off a lot of what are now considered marginal ounces, so ounces that do not make money unless we are at a much higher gold price. So as these companies continue to look to expand or at least maintain their current reserves as they continue production, do you think that these majors are going to have to almost rush into some of these companies that have ounces that are viable and attractive at current metal prices, even at metal prices, let's say, down in the 11 to 1200 region?
That's a fascinating question, and it's a fascinating study, because you see this just repeated over and over again. Frequently, the biggest most successful companies will frequently sell projects or withdraw from projects at the top of the market, and that are you know, projects that you really shouldn't sell, but they do because they have to, and they all will also let go of projects at the bottom of the market that they shouldn't, because they're good projects, and that they just, you know, hang on to them for a little bit longer period of time. It's a little bit like a restaurant business. A lot of times the people in the restaurant business that make the money are the third owner of the restaurant, not the first, and that's been the case with the Montanore, and we've seen over the last 2 to 3 years the major companies withdrawing and selling projects that 5 years ago were fantastic projects, or 10 years ago were fantastic projects, but they have to let them go or close them, and so the economic impact of that, of the closures, is lower supply. So you can see the equation being built for higher prices in the future as a result of lower supply. Major mines have been brought offline over the last 5 years, and so especially in the case of the copper industry, it's difficult to imagine how the growing demand for copper globally, which continues, albeit at a slower pace, how that demand is going to be met, because they're just not discovering the major projects that they need to in order to meet demand. So we see this pent-up demand that begins to build, and you see it with gold and silver as well. So you see companies out there now that the major companies that have cut costs, they've taken projects offline, they've cut costs at operating projects, and they've let go of projects that they didn't want to feed anymore, but now they're out there actually looking for projects to acquire. And so this is, you know, how mines management ended up, in discussions ultimately with Hecla. Hecla was looking for, you know, for good projects, and all of these major companies have to feed their pipeline. Mining projects don't last forever.
Doug, unfortunately we're out of time, but that I think is the point that we can end on, is that these mining projects do have a life of mine, and as they continue to produce year after year, these companies need to replenish the ounces in the ground just to keep their balance sheet and their prospects, well, as rosy as they would like. Doug, it's been a pleasure chatting with you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Hope everybody enjoyed our first two segments with Doug Dobbs. He shared some interesting things to say, not only about the market, but also about how him and his dad managed to build their company. And again, cannot harp on it enough that companies can be made in these bear markets, at the bottom of these bear markets, by picking up assets from some of the majors when they are essentially getting out of certain areas.
Mines Management is a great story. You know, now that they've announced that Hecla is buying them out, it's a great story of when you have a passion and you never give up, success generally comes to you, as it certainly did to Glenn Dobbs and Doug Dobbs and all the shareholders.
All right. Well, that being said, we're going to move into this segment with Craig Hemke. He is the purveyor, founder, editor of TFMetalsReport.com. Craig, I want to start off by talking about what seems to be the major, let's say, market that is driving a lot of the moves, especially in the precious metals, and that is the currencies. We have been watching the U.S. dollar bounce around this week, but it still seems to have this overall trend down. But then there does seem to be the dollar-yen relationship, which has the biggest impact on the price of gold. Can you take us through what you think we're going to see for at least the rest of this month and maybe into fall for the currencies in general?
Yeah, sure, Corey. That dollar-yen relationship seems to drive almost everything. from the stock market and the buying and selling of index futures to the bond market, man, you can almost just trace it with a connection to everything. And that's primarily due to now the just overwhelming influence of high-frequency trading on all markets, whether it's the stock market, where it's probably 80% of the volume, all the way down to the futures markets, like gold or crude oil or anything else. The idea that there are individual traders, you know, like it used to be 20, 30 years ago, you know, standing in a pit or writing out tickets to buy 200 shares of Coca-Cola. I mean, there's a little bit of that left, but most of the trading that discovers a price that you see on CNBC or Bloomberg is all done electronically. And so if you want to kind of get kind of take your cues from what the dollar yen is doing, what interest rates are doing, because the HFTs that buy all these paper assets, whether they're stocks, bonds, futures, whatever, you got to understand what their inputs are. In specific, and I know we've talked about this quite a bit, to paper trading of the gold derivatives, these HFTs either buy or sell gold futures on a daily basis, taking their cues from changes to the that dollar yen relationship or to interest rates. We see it, gosh, it really is almost on a daily basis. And it's not like gold can't move independent of that. You know, we talk about negative interest rates being the most positive fundamental factor for physical gold ownership that we've ever seen. And so negative interest rates and the demand for physical gold underpin the paper market. But gosh, anybody that watches these things on a daily basis as I do, it's pretty clear to see the connection. As we go through a month like August, where so many traders and trading desks, their employees are all on vacation, whether they're in Europe or if you're in New York, you're out in the Hamptons, you know, kind of like, what was it, the Flamingo Kid? Remember that movie from back in the 80s where they're all out in the Hamptons for one last weekend before Labor Day? That's kind of what it's like. And so the liquidity kind of dries up, and so the HFTs take an even bigger role in moving things around. You can get quite a bit of volatility, even though in general it seems quiet. Folks will remember last year, in the middle of August, all of a sudden the dollar yen started to go down, and the S&P futures went with it. And by the morning of August 24th, Dow Jones opened 1,000 points lower, because there just wasn't much liquidity left. And if it weren't for the collars, the trading collars on some of the individual issues and ETFs, we might have been 2,000 or 3,000 points lower. So, yes, and this is a quiet time of year, but boy, the influence of those high-frequency trader machines could be exacerbated in the weeks ahead. So really, this is a good time for everybody to be paying rapt attention to make sure they capitalize on any opportunities if they present themselves.
You know, I got to tell you, Craig, I have always been under the impression after 30, 35 years of doing this that the most important elements in terms of inputs, I guess I should say, in terms of affecting the price of gold or silver for that matter, because I think the two go hand in hand, I know they do, is you know, are events around the world, whether it is international events, geopolitical events, whether it's economic events like interest rates, what have you, et cetera, you know, in the past, that's what's always worked. Right now, I think that many of those inputs perhaps play a secondary role, because geopolitical events certainly has played a major role in the past, but you look at today's geopolitical events, and I mean, they couldn't be much more interesting, for lack of better terms, or frightening in most cases, and yet they haven't really driven the price of gold appreciably upward. Any comments on that?
Oh, I agree with you, Al. And I keep counseling people on my site to try to not pay such rapt attention to the tick by tick stuff, because it'll drive you crazy. You'll think, well, why is, like, even on Thursday of last week, between 11 o'clock Eastern and 1 o'clock Eastern, gold fell $10. And it didn't make any sense for it to, but then all you had to do was look at about a 3/4 point move in the dollar yen and a 4 basis point move in the long bond, and you could say, oh, okay, well, that's why it's down, because they move in conjunction intraday. But what you're getting at, Al, I think is something why I keep advising people to not look at the tick for tick, because the overall fundamental picture outside of the intraday, intra-hour, intra-minute stuff is so fundamentally positive for these metals that you don't want to get freaked out because of what you saw on any given Wednesday. There has never been a more positive fundamental for owning physical gold than negative interest rates and the negative interest rate policies being pursued by the global central banks. And why is that? Because everybody always says gold has an opportunity cost that comes with it because it doesn't pay a dividend. It just sits there and looks back at you and collects dust. Well, collecting dust at 0% dividend beats the pants off of negative 50 basis points in Switzerland for a 10-year note. And so that alone, and then when you factor in, if you're, an asset manager of a pension fund or something like that in Europe, not only are you buying, you know, these safe alleged securities of a bond with a negative yield, you're also dealing with currency risk of a euro that may have just taken a death blow 2 months ago when with the Brexit vote. So why wouldn't you have physical gold, not only as a hedge, but just as, heck, it's up 25% this year. It beats the pants off of what the stock market's doing. And again, no dividend is better than a negative dividend. And so that as a fundamental factor in the long run far outweighs, you know, how these HFTs are going to move things on a daily basis. And so that's why we try real hard not to get too worked up over the tick-by-tick stuff.
Well, Craig, to your point, and I said this before, and I will say this again, I think that the financial actions, the financial, let's say, environment out there is what's going to continue to drive gold, and that goes hand in hand with the negative interest rates and the continued money printing around the world, because quite frankly, I think that a lot of big money managers were underweight gold in their portfolios at the tail end of last year, and we have seen a shift in sentiment towards gold and some of the bigger gold stocks. That money has trickled down into some of the mid-tier and even some of the junior companies, and we're seeing some of the better companies perform much, much better than, let's say, some of the fringe companies. And I think that will be a continuing story, but I also don't think that we're in for, let's say, a skyrocketing gold price. I think that's good. I think that we will continue to see an appreciating gold price on the tail of people realizing that a lot of the investments out there and a lot of the companies, the big companies in, let's say, the normal day-to-day life of companies, of people, continue to struggle. And they might be getting their balance sheets back in order, but this world of too much debt is going to be an issue, and that's why people need to have an exposure to gold.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I am joined by a regular guest, the business editor of the Epoch Times, Valentin Schmidt. Valentin helps us by covering what's going on in China. And on this topic, on this segment, we will be talking about the SDR coming from the World Bank, the IMF in particular, which, Valentin, we've talked about in the past, and this has come out in some of the mainstream media, talking about how the Chinese currency will now be included in the SDR in October of this year, I believe, and what could happen within the SDR and within China. Can you first give us your opinion of what it means and the situation around the Chinese being included in the SDR?
Yeah, hi Corey, thanks for having me. So the SDR is, yes, a continuing hot topic, at least in the circles of high finance, because nobody else even knows what the thing is or what it means, why does it exist, or even if it exists. So I'm just going to explain to listeners who may not be familiar with this very obscure construct. So SDR means special drawing rights. It's supposedly it's a currency given out by the International Monetary Fund, but it's not really a currency in and of itself. It's more like a derivative. That's why it's called drawing right, because if you have one of those, then you have the right to draw a certain number of dollars, euro, yen, and pounds, and now from October onwards, also renminbi. And the IMF system will make good on that. It's not the IMF itself which pays. It's first a voluntary exchange mechanism. So, first of all, the IMF only gives this to member countries at first. Nobody else owns these things.
Which is why China wanted to be a part of the SDR.
There's different reasons for China. I'll tell you all about that later. Let's just explain the exchange mechanism so people understand more or less how it works. So let's say I'm the United States and I have a certain number of SDR and I want to get rid of a few. Then I can ask them, IMF, hey, can you find someone who's willing to exchange SDR for, you know, any currency? It doesn't have to be the exact allotment, because they publish the exchange rate for other currencies as well. If the United States says, I want euros for SDR, then the IMF asks somebody, hey, do you want to sell euros for SDR? And then you find France says, okay, I have euros, I want more SDR. Then the IMF brokers the transaction. If there's nobody who wants to sell, the IMF can force to sell. It's really a derivative. It's really a claim on the member system, on the IMF member system, and the IMF ultimately holds control over who does what. For China, the interesting thing is it goes way back to 2009 when the central bank governor wrote a paper or gave a speech, I don't remember exactly, and it's the guy still in charge. And he said he wants the SDR to become the world reserve currency because it's more stable than the US dollar. So that goes back to 2009. And now, that idea has been floating around every once in a while. You know, people say the renminbi will become the world reserve currency. I think I debunked that on your show many times, that obviously it's impossible for, you know, manipulated currency with huge problems and huge capital outflows to become the world reserve currency. So they're pushing the idea of the SDR. So now China finally becomes part of the SDR. So this is what they want, right? They want the SDR to become world reserve currency. Obviously, they want to be in there before it becomes world reserve currency. And now you have the next development. Even before China officially joins, you will have the issuance of what the IMF calls the MSDR. I don't know why they call it M, but presumably because it stands for market. But that's an instrument that basically any company or organization could issue a bond denominated in SDR, basically saying, okay, I'll pay you back SDR and you give me dollars for it or renminbi for it or whatever. And the press leaks out of China, so they talked about it at the G20 recently. When was that? In July. And they have now also confirmation coming out of China that the World Bank and another international development organization will issue these MSDR bonds in China. So Chinese banks will underwrite it, and some Japanese banks already said they were interested in it. And again, you have to imagine, so I'm the World Bank, I say I'm issuing this bond, which in 10 years, you know, you get repaid in SDR, but now you give me euro for it or whatever, because obviously the banks don't have the SDR. So they give them euro, no, renminbi, obviously, it's issued in China. So you give me renminbi, I give you this obligation in SDR, and 10 years later you get back the SDR. And this is their push to make the SDR more accepted by the market. Obviously, they have to use an international quasi-state organization to do it because the market doesn't know what the SDR is. If you ask a company in China, they don't know what it is. If you ask a company in the United States, they don't know what it is. They had some private SDR bonds apparently in the 80s, beginning of the 80s, but it was very minimal. A couple hundred million were issued, and also by these super government organization. So that's the way they're pushing it. I doubt that the market will ever on its own accept it. They'll have to force people to accept it. But that's the next step into pushing this whole SDR becoming the global reserve currency theme.
Well, making a move into this MSDR, as it seems to be called, that does seem like a push down the road to make the SDR more of a currency rather than what it is now. And this push, as you mentioned, is being made by China, but the U.S. still controls a lot of what goes on with this SDR. So how do you think they fit into this picture?
Oh, well, yeah, don't forget that, you know, the Chinese are always, like, they're saying, oh, we're plotting, we don't want the U.S. dollar to be the reserve currency, and that's true, they don't want that. But the United States, also realizes that having the world reserve currency, that the U.S. dollar has problems. So they have, you know, closed door deals and say, okay, you know, we realize that we can't perpetuate this forever. So we're gonna, you know, we're gonna find a common solution, and that seems to be the common solution because the United States still has veto power at the IMF. They also control the World Bank, so they could stop this any minute. So they are clearly on board with it, because it still gives them reasonable power. And plus, don't forget that the United States, especially at that level, they are globalists. They want a world reserve currency also. You know, they want to move away from the domination of countries, even if it's the United States, to like this kind of, you know, world government structure. And you can't have, it's kind of like the same with the euro. You know, they use the euro to consolidate power at the EU level, and they may use the SDR to consolidate power at the UN level. I mean, this is, you know, far down the road, but that's usually how it starts.
Well, and this is interesting because we've talked about, you know, different world reserve currencies and the possibility of them coming to actual premonition. But the fact of the matter is, if you have a country like China and the U.S. working together rather than battling it out to see which one actually wins, that makes the term of a new reserve currency and even a world currency much more possible, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, totally. And don't forget, United States versus China, that's a theme, that's a very interesting theme, but there's so many different levels. So at one level, at the globalist level, you know, they're all globalists at the IMF and the World Bank. They're working together. On another level, maybe some people in the Senate or people like Donald Trump, they say, on trade, we don't want to work together. So you have, or the military is obviously at loggerheads. Geopolitics, and in the South China Sea, we don't want to work together. So there's a lot of different people at places in the different governments that sometimes they want to cooperate and sometimes they don't want to cooperate. So it's helpful to keep that in mind. But in terms of the internationalization, the SDR, the IMF, World Bank, they're definitely working together, maybe because China did a smart move and they're pushing all their own initiatives, the Silk Road, the Asian Infrastructure and Investment Bank, and they put some pressure on the United States and says, hey, look, we're going to set up our own infrastructure if you don't cooperate. Maybe that was part of the deal. Who knows?
Well, and that is the thing. It's hard to tell exactly what the deal is, or even if there is a, let's say, defined plan towards a new currency. But seeing the Chinese currency come into the SDR, I don't think initially will have a big impact all around. But it's interesting learning about these MSDR, what could be issued in China. We don't necessarily have a timeline on when these will be issued, do we?
Well, actually, the report said in August, so I'm constantly checking every day, you know, to see news on it. But yeah, they said August. So
all right. Well, that could be obviously a big story that we will follow. Valentin, I appreciate you joining us and you sharing your insights on what is going on, not only in China, but also with the IMF and the World Bank. Valentin's going to be back with us next week with a very interesting editorial that he's coming out with on more of a political stance that I think everyone should pay attention to. Thank you for your time, Valentin. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at PrivateInternetAccess.com. Once again, that's PrivateInternetAccess.com.